Content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 9th through Sunday, March 15th, 2026. The commentary for March was written by Mike Angle, who serves as the rector of St. Michael and All Angels in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Previously, he served in St. Louis and on the staff of the presiding bishop for young adults and college students. He is a writer, husband, dad, and advocate with a passion for justice and finding God in unexpected places. The commentary for Monday, March 9th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 41. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, get up. I knew a seminarian who had the words Talitha cum tattooed on her arm. She had grown up in an evangelical church. Reading this passage, where not one but two women find healing, was a key moment in her decision to seek out a faith that was more affirming of her call. I grew up around ordained women. My mom became a priest when I was in junior high, and one of our first priests was a woman and a family friend. It has been a gift to worship in a faith that embraces the call of a person to ministry without discrimination based on gender. It has been a gift as a rector to affirm the calls of women, particularly those who were not affirmed in the churches of their childhood. I wonder how many more people need to hear the words of Jesus, Talitha cum. And now I'm going to read the Gospel of Mark from chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Indeed, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. The Father judges no one, but has given judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Very truly I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father has given me to complete, the very works that I am doing, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, because you do not believe him who he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. And the moving forward question for this Monday, March 9th, is there a call in you that remains dormant? Could Jesus be inviting you to come alive in some way? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, March 10th, the day on which we commemorate Harriet Ross Tubman. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 11. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. After a service in which I talked about Harriet Tubman as an agent of God's liberation, a friend came up to me and said, "Mike, you confused me for a moment. You were preaching about Harriet Tubman, and I had to check my calendar because I thought, wait, this isn't February." This friend is a black educator, a former kindergarten teacher who brings lessons into elementary schools about slavery, Jim Crow, and the work toward freedom. As a black educator, her schedule was always packed in February, which is designated as Black History Month. Mine, as an LGBTQ plus leader, was always full in June for Pride. It matters what stories we tell and when. I appreciate that the Episcopal calendar of saints is growing more diverse and that the feast days for figures like Tubman can fall in March. We need to consider the heroes of faith throughout the year, not just in the months we are told that they matter. And now I'm going to read the full Gospel of Mark from chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and he saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what stories of black leaders are you saving for reading or telling next February? Could you tell them in March? The commentary for Wednesday, March 11th, begins with the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 19. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. I like to think of this story of Herod and Herodias as the Real Housewives of Galilee. This episode in Mark's Gospel has all the intrigue of modern reality television. The story is also a violent distraction from the ongoing story of the Gospel. I know that I am susceptible to seeking this kind of distraction. My husband and I came across a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City marathon once when we were on vacation, and we got hooked. It was amazing how easily we became emotionally invested in the stories of people we wouldn't want as neighbors in real life. In the season we watched, one of the housewives was indicted for defrauding seniors. Like the Herods, she had accumulated wealth drawn from the poverty of people who were hurt. Sometimes the Bible feels so far from our reality, and sometimes it breaks through. Thanks be to God, even when people act at their worst, that there is good news of hope and salvation. And now I'm going to read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, from verse 13 through 29. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The next day the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not got into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for him. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him and whom he has sent." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, what in your life are you using as a distraction? How can you move away from distraction and into sharing the good news? Now the commentary for Thursday, March 12th, the day on which we commemorate Gregory the Great. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 32. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. The word sacred means set apart. When we call a place sacred, we choose to move, speak, and act differently within that space. For millennia, the desert has been considered such a place. The earliest Christian monasteries were in the desert, with that quiet place being held sacred. Today's story from the Gospel of Mark has Jesus and the disciples looking for a deserted place. Yet even as they seek quiet, a crowd follows. Jesus, in his compassion, asks his followers to feed the crowd that follows them, and miraculously in the desert there are fish and bread for all. I suspect many of us have experienced this tension between the crowd and the quiet. How do we set aside time to be in sacred space? How do we quiet the noise of the world and the monologues in our heads? Some of the early desert monastics taught that we could find the desert in the city, carrying with us an inner quiet, an inner stillness. My prayer is that I continue to hold on to this sacred stillness and respond to the cacophony with compassion and kindness. Now I'm going to read this passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 46. So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, and not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall call all to be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father." And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, where do you find moments of stillness? Now the commentary for Friday, March 13th, the day we commemorate James Theodore Holly. It begins with a passage from Mark chapter 6, verses 51b through 52. "And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." There's a certain loneliness for Jesus in this section of Mark. His followers do not understand the meaning of the miracles. The crowd seem more interested in the works of wonder than the message. The words "the people recognized him" come with a certain irony, because the people see what they want to see. I have a Lutheran colleague who says that we clergy wear little white plastic collars so that people can project their own home movies on them, like a little screen. It's true for clergy, and it's true from clergy. More than once, I have been caught up in my own assumptions about who a person is and what they want, only to discover when I take the time to listen that their priorities are entirely different from what I assumed. And now I'm going to read the passage from Mark chapter 6, verses 47 through 56. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." And the moving forward question for this day, how do we slow down and really listen to one another, to Jesus? The commentary for Saturday, March 14th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus said, "There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile." I attended a Catholic college, and one of the priests who presided at daily Mass was an old Jesuit named Father J.J. He was famed for his short homilies. When I celebrate a weekday Eucharist, I still try to keep to J.J.'s 3 to 5 minutes. People like to have time for lunch after a midday service. Father J.J. often invited us to go into your hearts, and J.J. was honest about it. He knew that in our hearts we could often find strength, hope, and resilience. And sometimes we found the evil intentions that Jesus talks about today. Father J.J. always encouraged us to approach our hearts with questions like, "What do you really desire?" or "How have you been treating yourself?" He invited us to root around in the heart matter, the soul matter, to find the spirit deep within. Those 3 to 5 minute invitations into our hearts often led to hours of reflection. And now I'm going to read from Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He did not wish to go about in Judea, because the Jews were looking for an opportunity to kill him. Now the Jewish festival of booths was near, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples also may see the works you are doing, for no one who wants to be widely known acts in secret. If you do these things, show yourself to the world," for not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its works are evil. Go to the festival yourselves. I am not going to this festival, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone to the festival, then he also went, not publicly, but as it were, in secret. The Jews were looking for him at the festival and saying, "Where is he?" And there was considerable complaining about him among the crowds. While some were saying, "He is a good man," others were saying, "No, he is deceiving the crowd." Yet no one would speak openly about him for fear of the Jews. About the middle of the festival, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished at it, saying, "How does this man have such learning when he has never been taught?" Then Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own. Those who speak on their own seek their own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is nothing false in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why are you looking for an opportunity to kill me? The crowd answered, You have a demon who is trying to kill you. Jesus answered them, I performed one work, and all of you are astonished. Moses gave you circumcision. It is, of course, not from Moses, but from the patriarchs. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, in order that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I healed a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how often do you go into your heart, and what do you find there? Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of the program, let's turn to Sunday, March 15th, the fourth Sunday in Lent. It begins with a passage from John chapter 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his servants, his parents, sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Jane, a former parishioner, wasn't born blind, but she was losing her sight to glaucoma. It was maddening because she had been a very active octogenarian, traveling with friends, volunteering regularly, playing tennis. The slow loss of capacity was awful. Then Jane had a stroke, and her eyesight just went away. So did her hearing. I expected a level of anger. There was some, but after the stroke, Jane laughed for more than I would have imagined. Jane told me that the slow loss was excruciating because it felt like she didn't have control over what was happening. The big loss was somehow more manageable because she simply had to accept the new reality. She lived several more years, and what struck me was her consistent practice of gratitude. Every time we talked, she said, Thank you. I'm grateful for your time. She spoke about her friends and caregivers similarly and counted herself blessed. Like Jesus' story today, I know Jane had real insight. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, March 15th, how and where do you find gratitude? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me for the program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time. Thank you.